Now, towards the end of the novel, there is a brilliant scene that is pure Lewis. You see, Weston wants to explain his philosophy to the Oyarsa. But Weston doesn't know the language of the Oyarsa. And so what Lewis does is Weston explains his philosophy in English, and then Ransom translates it into the language of the Oyarsa. And do you know what happens when he does that? What happens is that all of Weston's, quote, noble ideals are exposed for the shallow claptrap they are. When you take all those words and put them in English, then we suddenly realize the horror. When you stop talking about ethnic cleansing and you start talking about massacring people, then the mask is off. Well, that's what Lewis is doing. George Orwell does similar things in a lot of his works. But although it's claptrap, it is dangerous claptrap. You see, the low capitalism of Divine is tame compared to the finely totalitarian dream of Weston, who sees all humanity as a sort of cosmic compost and all life as raw material for pure scientific vivisection. We are just so much compost to Weston. Well, as you can see, Weston's philosophy is not only anti-life, it's finally anti-humanistic. And indeed, that anti-humanistic, anti-life philosophy is finally that of Satan or the devil. And when I say that, and when Lewis says it in his novel, he doesn't mean that figuratively. He means it literally. Did you all figure out what's going on here? Have you figured out who the terrestrial Oyarsa is who rebelled against Mal-El-Dil? He is none other than Satan. For Lewis, our world really is enemy-occupied territory. And we humans who dwell on the earth are marred by the same pride and disobedience that motivated Satan to rebel. So Lewis is taking the Christian story and putting it sort of in allegorical or at least cosmological terms. Now, we try to figure out what the problem is with human beings. And Ransom learns the problem with human beings is not so much that we lack a good Oyarsa. You know what the problem is? Each one of us wants to be our own Oyarsa. We rebel and want to be our own. Now, in a wonderful scene, we learn that the Oyarsa of Mars, or Malakandra, has heard rumors of Mal-El-Dil's struggles with the Bent One. That is Satan. But he doesn't know anything about it because of Thul'Kondra, the silent planet. But he tells Ransom that he longs to look into those things. And it's a wonderful reference to the Bible where it says even the angels long to look into the Christian story. And at the end of the novel, Ransom whispers something in the Oyarsa's ear, and the Oyarsa wonders at it. And it's pretty clear he's telling him the story about Christ, the whole gospel, if you will. It's a wonderful, wonderful moment. But that's not all. The novel ends on a very interesting note that you're not expecting. It ends with apocalyptic intimations of spiritual warfare to come. This is only the beginning. A greater spiritual warfare is coming to the earth that will involve all of the planets. But unfortunately, Lewis tells us, and it's in his own voice now, our post-enlightenment books tell us nothing of such spiritual warfare, nor of such metaphysical realities. We have no defenses against this because we don't know anything about it. So we have to turn back to the medievals because they're the ones that understood angelology and spiritual warfare and whatnot. Do you get what's happening here? It turns out that knowledge of the medieval model will not only make us into better students, scholars, and thinkers, it just may save our lives. Let us move on now to the second novel of the space trilogy, and that is called Perelandra, or the outer space name for Venus. Our hero, or protagonist, is once again Ransom, and this time Ransom is carried to Venus, not by spaceship, but by the Eldila. The angels actually carry Ransom to Venus. And when he arrives, he encounters a pre-fallen world replete with an Adam and Eve, and Ransom engages in a titanic struggle to prevent the demon-possessed Weston from tempting the innocent queen of Venus. That's the plot, and we're going to spend a lot of time on it. Now, in this lecture, we shall focus only on the Edenic state of Venus and its queen. Then, in the next lecture, we shall explore the Miltonic dimensions of Ransom's struggle with evil, because Paralandra is a replay of Genesis 3, the fall of man. But let's start by just looking at the Edenic state of Venus in this lecture.